Chuck Knoblauch is one of my favorite baseball players. He was a Yankee for a few years. I know you know I'm a Yankees fan. And, you know, he was on the team when I was learning about baseball, so it holds a big place in my mind. He was a Golden Glove winner, which means that he was really, really good at defense. But in the year 2000, he suddenly was a completely different player. He couldn't make some of the routine plays that a high school second baseman could make. And it was causing serious problems for the team, for the season, and for himself. It was more than a slump. It was lasting for months on end. Now, Knoblauch, after one game in the middle of the season in July, he had a really bad game where he made three errors, again, on routine plays, and reflected afterwards. He said, "I have a problem, obviously. It confuses the heck out of me." And then after his career, he reflected again on what was going on, and he said, "Something obviously went wrong, but I have no idea what it was. I couldn't overcome it. This Golden Glove Major League Baseball player had a hard time with routine ground balls." He became a poster child for a phenomenon called the yips. This is usually a sporting word, originally golf. It has to do with a confusing breakdown of being able to perform previously routine kinds of activities with no apparent cause whatsoever. The sufferer oftentimes does everything that they can to fix it, but it persists. And Knoblauch ended his career at the young age of 33. Although he played with the Royals the last 2 years, so he really ended it at 31. But I think many of us have found ourselves in seasons of being discombobulated and not knowing what's wrong, but knowing something is wrong. Not even really knowing the best way out of it. I think our culture is also experiencing something of a cultural yip right now. We have problems. They confuse the heck out of us. Something's obviously gone wrong. We have no idea what to do. It seems like everything we do in our time and place either makes things worse or just indifferent. Divine believes that there is a tried and true response to something like the cultural yips. It's a similar response whether we're having the personal yips or just a spiritual malaise and kind of indifference altogether. It's found in Jeremiah's vision for discipleship that we get in this passage today. All the other passages go to support this idea of discipleship, but we're going to focus on Jeremiah. He says, "Stand at the crossroads and ask for the ancient paths." So stick with me to explore becoming good disciples, because being a good disciple means being wounded, being ancient, and being prophetic. First, a note on discipleship. This is not a question of if you are going to be a disciple or not. I can almost guarantee that you are expert at being a disciple. The last 2 weeks here at the Vine, we've been focusing on this phrase of our vision that says we are following Jesus on a journey of hope from our brokenness towards healing, wholeness, and restoration. Today, the last part of our vision phrase, through the ancient practices of the Christian faith. Jesus said in our gospel reading last week, "Follow me," to folks who are going to go on to become his disciples, and they did. This is basic discipleship. You follow the person that you want to learn from. There's an ancient Jewish blessing of discipleship that says, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi," which is great. This is an idea of setting your whole mind, your whole body, your actual physical location, believe it or not, your desire, your needs, setting them close, consistently, to the person that you want to learn from and become like. You're walking a path to become like this person, a practice of your whole being. We cannot help but be disciples in one way or another. We are constantly discipled by commercials that tell us how lost we are unless we receive the salvation of new sneakers, or this new credit card, or the newest piece of tech. We're constantly discipled by fashion. I remember low-rise skinny jeans were the thing at one point. High-waisted flowy pants were a thing now. Women, I will never understand the machinations of women's fashion, but that's it. I remember being told dress preppy, dress grungy, dress like a jock. Right? And then there are the hipsters on the side who are constantly trying to not be like any of them and look like they just rolled out of bed and had the lights off while they got dressed. But don't kid yourself, there is very much a heart orientation in all of these things. Oh, I'm not going to be like everyone else. We're putting on more than pants. We're putting on a heart posture. In church, I'm going to continue with fashion here. When I was in seminary, the big thing was to wear skinny jeans, a t-shirt, and have a Hebrew tattoo right down your forearm, inside your forearm. We laugh at it, but it's telling the world, I'm really smart. I know stuff. I'm also culturally relatable and fit. We're constantly letting ourselves be discipled by all kinds of things, and it is anything but innocuous. When Charlie Kirk was politically assassinated weeks ago, it uncovered how much we've allowed our algorithms to disciple us. Two different versions of a man who was a father and husband were popularly put out into the world, and both of them missed the man, whatever you thought of him. Do we let AI-curated algorithms teach and shape us, or do we do the hard work of seeking a better understanding behind them? What's more, will we let ourselves be discipled by Jesus in the ancient paths and how we treat people in the aftermath of an event like that? Can we actually believe that the meek, the merciful, the mourners, the poor in spirit, the peacemakers are blessed? You, whoever you are a disciple because you give yourself regularly to a thing or a person to be shaped by them, whether you're aware of it or not. Whose dust are you covered in? How can we make sure we're being discipled by Jesus? And what does it look like to be a good disciple? Again, being wounded, being ancient, and being prophetic. A good disciple realizes our wound. Hear this from Jeremiah. This is verse 13 and 14. They, my prophets and priests, dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Pretending we aren't wounded makes things worse. The power of positivity, not enough. Good disciples don't pretend that we aren't wounded, that we aren't hurting, that we aren't confused. Chuck Knoblauch had the yips. He eventually got to this place where he could not deny that something was off, something was going on. Sorry for a second New York Yankees reference, but our manager, the second half of the season this year, was saying peace, peace, when there was no peace, because our shortstop, who's an amazing player, Anthony Volpe, was playing half the season with a torn labrum. I think that's in your shoulder. And this normally amazing player was playing really poorly. The team suffered. His value suffered as a young player on the brink of getting a new contract. It makes things worse if we pretend that we are not wounded. The only thing worse than pretending is lightly healing. If you show up to a hospital with a stab wound and they put a Band-Aid on it, it's insulting. Your doctor, the very person that you need to take you seriously, is minimizing your situation. The prophets and the priests of Jeremiah's time were meant to diagnose, see the wound of his people for what it is, and to bring deep healing to God's people. They dressed the wounds as if they were not serious. Generations of ignoring the ancient paths or minimizing their wound led to this, leading to death. Spiritually, yes, the fabric of life with their God was frayed, but also literally, the fabric of society had deteriorated so much that they were about to be taken over by the Babylonians, and that went on to happen. But what is this wound that we're meant to not ignore or take lightly? We'll see in a moment, but pause here in the tension of not knowing and recognize how important it is that discipling Jesus means not pretending. If somebody came into our church, somebody we know or not, and we said, "How are you?" and they said, "I'm feeling depressed. I'm arguing constantly with my spouse, and I really don't want to be here right now." Is that really okay here? Could we actually receive that as being okay and potentially a healthy response to a hard season? As good disciples of Jesus, can we practice being comfortable with our difficulties, our differences, our dysfunctions, and our wound? A good disciple realizes our wound. A good disciple is also ancient. The ancient paths that Jeremiah talks about tell us about this wound and its healing. Hear from verse 16. This is what the Lord said: "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Jeremiah's ancient paths are the paths of the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, this way of being with God, in other words. Jeremiah likely wrote this while serving King Josiah, the first of the three kings that he served. And Josiah rediscovered the old Mosaic covenants because they'd been buried and forgotten about for so long that the culture had forgotten about them. So this is the king he was serving, and as the king rediscovered them, he put some of it into practice, and yet, because they had been lost for generations, the reforms proved to be surface level. So Jeremiah encouraged them. The ancient paths, walk in them. They are good, and not simply because they're old paths. It's because they repaired the relationship between God and humanity. Our wound, therefore, which we all carry, is that we are broken off from the God whose love made us, sustains us, and will heal us if we open to it. For more on this brokenness, listen to last week's message. But the Christian belief is that unless we repair this break with God, we ignore our wound. And notice, wound is singular in this passage. There is one cause. So ask for the ancient paths. But these ancient paths point also to an eternal God. Hear this gut-wrenching final phrase of our passage: "But God's people said, 'We will not walk in it.'" They did not walk in the ancient paths. Still, God's prophet Jeremiah never left Israel hopeless, because God is eternal. The same word for ancient in our passage is actually more frequently translated as something like eternal or forever. It's appropriate to say ancient here because he's actually pointing backwards to something. But he's also pointing, upwards, forwards, to an eternal God. The same ancient paths that are walking with the Lord behind him are the paths that he points forward to when the people say, we will not walk in them. About 25 chapters later, Jeremiah says one of the most important phrases in the Old Testament. He says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Notice the image of a wound healed. Whatever other difficulties we might come up against, none of them are overtaken because I will be their God and they will be my people. Israel couldn't choose the ancient paths. They didn't, at least. So how could we hope to choose the ancient paths? Our wound is too deep, just like theirs. It's an infection that keeps our wound from healing that runs through us. It's an infection that keeps us from wanting the healing, from recognizing our wound. Jesus is Jeremiah's future ancient path to walk in. When Jesus dies, he destroys the infection that means the wound can't heal. The infection that keeps us from calling our wound, our distance from God, a wound. But we must still choose to become disciples, to seek to have the dust of Jesus himself cover us. Discipling Jesus is our ancient, eternal path. Good disciples are receiving their wound. Good disciples are ancient, and good disciples are prophetic. What is prophetic? Stand at the crossroads. This feels like such a prophetic image and invitation. To be a prophet, especially in Old Testament times, we tend to think that they're walking around giving everyone horoscopes and foretelling the future. No. A prophet hears from God and speaks God's eternal hopes into a particular moment. A prophet holds together God's desire and hope for flourishing in our current state, holds together God's vision in the current time. A prophet is embedded in the culture, not apart from, not removing from, separating from the culture. Yet within the culture, the prophet is walking the ancient paths, this way of being with God. God's eternal love and healing are always on offer to us. That's the invitation, to walk these paths with the Lord, uniquely for them in their modern moment, for us in the modern moment. Every modern time and place has its own beautiful, unique expression of what it means to be human, of culture. And there's so many beautiful ways to be able to know the Lord, to bring fruit and cultivation into the world in every single cultural era and place. Similarly true, though, every time and place has its own gospel blinders. And so every time and place needs prophetic disciples. Vine, we are standing at the crossroads. Will you choose the ancient paths and prophetically walk them in this time and place? In Haywood County and the particular blinders that we have, as well as the particular beauty that we have here. It's not incidental that these paths are, in fact, ancient. Jeremiah's modern time, just like ours, can ignore our wound because we think we've got it all together in our modern time and place. We have a preference for now and what we know as apart from what those that came before us know. It's good that these paths that Jeremiah points to are actually old. That's not a bad thing. And we see this playing out some in our modern time and place. Winfield Bevins, one author who wrote this book, Simply Anglican, makes this observation. The truth is, many contemporary people are longing for a faith that was not started yesterday and is not driven by fads or personalities. We heal our wounds lightly when we believe following Jesus means merely thinking the correct things and fine-tuning our theology. We heal our wounds lightly when we promise following Jesus will solve all of our problems and discomforts. I would almost argue that we get more of those as we follow Jesus, but they are good. And so here at the Vine, some of the ways that we express the ancient paths are through being fully embodied in worship. We stand to sing, we kneel to confess. In an Anglican worship service, all of our senses are impacted because all of our senses are a part of who we are. We are fully embodied. We come forward to receive communion at one common table because it's one family table. We walk the ancient path of leaning into a community, however difficult that is. People actually have more to offer than podcasts. Real people have problems. So that's not as comfortable as just flipping on a podcast to learn. And so we'll continue to lean into community together, to actually gather in person. Being rooted in a particular time and place and not always thinking globally or nationally. This is an ancient path because we are meant to care for the good of this place, as Hannah preached in the second week of our vision series. We will always hold together the tensions of worshiping in an ancient way and a future way. The eternal paths of seeking the Lord involve connecting with those who have walked the paths before us. The word Jeremiah uses here for paths is not the standard Jewish word derek for way. It's another word that has more of a connotation of like plodding down and stomping down the grass. In other words, a pathway that has been walked consistently, constantly, over time, and developed in that way. We are not a worshiping faith that started yesterday. And we will worship with our brothers and sisters from the first century, from the Reformation, and all around the world. The last ancient path, just to put my finger on, is that we will be thoroughly biblical, concerned to know what Scripture says in a holistic way. Scripture is where God tells us about who He is. We can't walk the ancient path of knowing Him if we don't know about Him. That's not all it means, but that's important. The shape of our prayers, the shape of our worship, the shape of our imaginations will all be saturated with Scripture, who God is. The shape of our calendar, which ends today and begins next Sunday again, the shape of our calendar will always have us in the story of Jesus, shaping us in all kinds of ways. There's so much more that can be said about how we here uniquely express the walking out of these ancient paths. But it is not a quick and instant kind of reality, which is perhaps one of the most prophetic ways that we gather. This is slow work. Being shaped in the image of Jesus happens over time. And so we will continue to be consistently gathering together in these ancient paths. Back to the yips, let me close here. One psychologist that I found talked about how you get over the yips. He said, usually when athletes experience this problem, it's often due to not having a stable sense of identity out of their sport. As such, when most of an individual's life revolves around the sport, there's predictably no outlet for them to connect with when the negative experience within athletics occurs. I thought that was really telling. Simone Biles, the gymnast who went through their gymnastics version of the yips, they call them the twisties, she described her experience by saying, "It's like my mind and my body were totally disconnected. And I had to go back to the basics and just rebuild slowly again and again." Friends, that's the work that we're doing, is rebuilding slowly again and again what it means to walk the ancient paths with Jesus in our time and place. That's the work that we get to do together. Let me pray for us. Lord, even now, as a foretaste of the ways that you walk with us, would you call to mind for us one place where we need to set our longing for discipleship back onto you, wherever we are placing our identity that's not you, Lord, in your loving way, show us and bring us greater flourishing of life through that. Lord, help us to walk these paths, to move closer to you as we move closer to one another. Scatter the darkness from before our paths and lead us in your light and your love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.